Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for inviting us on this special Compassion Sunday. As we think about the poor and our responsibility to do what we can to help them, as you heard, my name is Bill Coleman, and I'm a have a little bit of voice problems right now, but I'll be okay. Take a drink of water. Nothing worse than a dry sermon anyway, right? I'm a retired pastor from St. Thomas, Ontario, and I had the privilege of pastoring for over 40 years, and I'm here with Nancy, my wife of over 50 years, and so for those of you who are trying to do the math, that makes me 70 years old. And I know you're surprised. You thought I was probably like 85, right? Something like that. Well, you know, some years ago, Nancy and I had a life-changing experience. We went on a Compassion Canada mission trip to visit Compassion Children in Honduras. And the poverty that we witnessed there was, what can I say, including our own sponsor girl and her mom, who you see on screen, who we are working on getting on screen. This will be slide number two. There we, almost, one more, there we go. Who you see on screen there was absolutely suffocating. And I came back what I call wrecked for good. I came back broken by my lack of appreciation of how much good I could do if I just would. And also came back with a pastoral goal to help as many congregations like yours as I can get another glimpse of what Jesus and the apostles had to say about what we can do to help the poor. So my prayer for you this morning is that you will get a little deeper sense of what he teaches in the scripture and our responsibility to do what we can. And of course, since we are here with Compassion Canada, I really hope that you will become a sponsor too of one of our children. And I know many of you are, and thank you so much for all the years of support that you've given. Let me tell you, you are changing lives as a result of your partnership with Compassion. And may God bless all of you who participate in that way. And so if you already are a sponsor, I want to encourage you to sponsor another child today. You see, my prayer is that everyone goes home from a Compassion Sunday with a new child. Everyone goes home with a bigger family. But before we talk about how Compassion Canada can help us do that, I want to take a snapshot out of the life of St. Paul the Apostle on the importance to God of you and me remembering the poor. So here's a question. What do we know about Paul? Well, we know from reading the New Testament book of Acts and the epistles that Paul was a starter of churches in the first century following the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we also know that that's not all Paul did. Paul also had another ministry, which was to encourage people like us to give financially to help the poor if we could. And you know what? When you read the New Testament, you find that Paul talks about this an awful lot. You see, as we read the scripture, we can uncover a lot about Paul. We can uncover his message, which is the glorious gospel of Christ. We can uncover his methodology and how he traveled around preaching the gospel. But we can also uncover something else. We can uncover his personal attitude about helping the poor. Let me give you a couple examples of this. First of all, when Paul was commissioned into the ministry, he was like ordained, commissioned by none other than the apostles Peter, James, and John. Remember them? They were the inner circle of Christ. And they gave him a mandate. That mandate was preach the gospel, make disciples, baptize people, start churches, be a missionary, all the things that they had told him to do. But they also told Paul to do something else. And that's something else is what I want to look at this morning. Let me tell you, show you what Paul had to say about that something else. Galatians chapter 2, verse 10. We're on slide number 4. There we go. Paul writes, only they, now who's that? That's Peter, James, and John, asked us to remember the poor, the very thing I was, key word, eager. Let's all say eager. Eager, very good. Sometimes I'll ask people to say eager, and the whole church just looks at me like, we don't do that in our church. Way to go. So the very thing I was eager to do. So what do we have there? That's Paul's attitude, right? He says, my attitude is I'm eager to remember the poor. Well, later on in Paul's ministry, he devotes two whole chapters to the same subject of giving to the poor with an eager heart. And those two chapters are found in 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. And in those two chapters, if you go home and read both of them, what you discover is that Paul is talking about, two different attitudes about giving to the poor. The first attitude is, as we would expect, eagerness. But you know what the second attitude is Paul talks about? Well, let me demonstrate it like this. Let's pick a word. Reluctance. Grumpy reluctance that needs to be compelled, you know, arm twisted, like, ouch, oh, don't make me do it. So in these two attitudes, if we're going to really appreciate what Paul is going to write in these two chapters, and we're not going to read all of them today, but it's important to observe that he is making this comparison. The Corinthian church to whom the letter was addressed, they're pretty reluctant. You know, they're like, Paul had to write them two whole chapters to get them to get involved and do what they had said they were going to do. On the other hand, in those chapters, Paul describes another group of churches called the Macedonians. And here's what he said about them. He said the Macedonians were living in, you ready, extreme poverty themselves, but who nevertheless were still, listen, begging to give to help the poor. Let me show you this for ourselves. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. It says, we want you to know, brothers and sisters, about the grace of God that was given among the churches of Macedonia. Remember, he's writing to the Corinthians here. He says, for in a severe test of affliction, or even during that, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have what? Have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. Verse 3, for they gave how? According to their means. Means? He just said they were in extreme poverty. They gave according to their means, as I can testify beyond their means. How? Of their own accord. But look at verse 4. Begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints, or he's talking about here, the care of the poor. Now, I want to ask you a big question. Here it is. These verses raise a big question. You ready? When was the last time you ever begged to give to something? You say, oh, that just sticks me right in the heart. I know, and I'm feeling the same way. I asked myself, Bill, when was the last time you actually begged to give to something? And yet when we open the Word of God, we see right here that that's the example, isn't it? That's the example to the Corinthians of what they were supposed to be evaluating themselves on. So for us to really understand these two chapters, we have this comparison. We have church attitude number one, or Christian attitude number one, which is begging to give, like the Macedonians. And then we have number two, being begged to give, like the Corinthians. And so the question is, what's more like me? And what's God looking for from me? Well, as your pastor just said a few moments ago, foundational to everything in Scripture, everything Paul writes is one thing. You know what it is? The gospel, the good news of Christ, the grace of our God, the eagerness of God, the extravagant generosity of God shown to us through Christ's death on a cross, so we can come to him in faith and believe and be saved. And so we're not surprised that Paul brings this up right smack dab in the middle of these two chapters. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. Paul says to the Corinthians, he says, listen, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Like, you know about his extravagant and undeserved generosity, that though he was rich, he was second person of the Trinity, you know, the Son of God, all the resources of the universe at his disposal. Though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor. Remember Philippians 2? He emptied himself, he humbled himself, he took on the body of a servant. Why? That he might die on the cross for our sins so we can be saved. He says, yet for your sake he became poor so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. Now, Paul here is referring to the riches of our salvation, forgiveness of sin, hope in heaven, and so forth. He's not talking about giving us an exotic sports car, okay? That would make no sense at all in these two chapters. His point is, rather, be eager like Jesus in your giving to the poor. Sacrifice yourself like Jesus did, or like the Macedonians did. Make yourself poor for their sake, like our Savior did for us. Well, with that as a up to this point, let's look at one more verse where Paul's going to explain what he wanted the Corinthians to do now that he's kind of laid out that challenge to them. And then I want to take a few minutes and share how Compassion Canada can actually help us express our own eagerness to helping the poor. Here's what Paul writes in chapter 9, verse 7 of 2 Corinthians. He says, each one must give. Now remember what he's talking about here. Primarily he's talking about giving to the poor. How are they to give? As he has decided in his heart, not, there's that word. It's a Bible word. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, arm twisting. Ouch, ow, ow, ow. God, don't make me do it. Why? Because God loves a cheerful giver. That's where that comes from. We've all heard that. How many of you have heard that statement, God loves a cheerful giver? Well, it's right here in this chapter all about giving to the poor. So the question is, what's God looking for from you? And what's God looking for from me? He's looking for that cheerful giver, right? He's looking for that eager giver because that's who he is. That's what he's like, and that's his motivation behind the grace or the extravagant generosity of the gospel. Well, with that as foundational, that's our theological foundation for what I'm going to say next. I want to share with you just a few minutes how Compassion Canada can actually help us be that eager, cheerful giver to the poor. Now, I know many of you have been involved in Compassion for a long time, and I want to talk to encourage you as well as to inform those who are brand new and they have not heard about Compassion's ministry and why this church is so highly invested in that ministry. First of all, it's fair to say that not everyone, even in a wealthier place, is able to give. But in Canada, that's usually an exception. I'm going to give you two reasons why I would say that. The first is there are countless tens of thousands of people from all over the world who live in desperate places who would just explode with joy if they could immigrate here. Now, we all know that. It's on the news a lot. 3-4 weeks ago, 650 people crossed the border from the U.S. into Quebec. They're like passing through the U.S. to get here. We have tens of thousands of people trying to get into Canada, and there's a reason for that. They would love to move here, but I want to make a shocking statement. Okay, so put your seatbelts on. And it's a new car. Put your seatbelts on. And I'm going to back off on it after I say it, okay? They would love to immigrate to Canada and even become a homeless person. You're like, what? Well, first of all, we certainly don't want anyone to move here and become homeless, do we? Now, I'm sure they don't want to do that either, but the point I'm driving at is quite simple. The difference between being homeless in Canada is so much better than what many other people in the world have. It would still be a gigantic step up to move here and just be homeless. You say, well, how? I don't understand that. Here's how. Here's one reason. Here they have free medical care. There, they just get sick and die. Here, we have free education for our kids. There, many of them don't, and their children never get out of the cycle of poverty. And let me tell you, it's much more true for girls than it is for boys. Here, we have clean water. At least most people have clean water. Everybody should have clean water in Canada. But here, all of us today have clean water. And you know what? My guess is you got up this morning, you turned it on, you didn't even think about it. We just take it for granted, don't we? But there are many people sick much of the time because of the polluted water they have to drink. Here we have hundreds of agencies, charities, government programs, churches just like yours who can help. And they can provide housing and food and clothing and counseling and sleeping bags for the homeless and so forth. There, I've been there. They just don't have the resources to do that. And the reason we have those resources is because we really are, as a people, a fabulously fortunate group of people. But here's one more comparison. To sponsor a child with Compassion Canada only costs $1.35 a day, which is equivalent to what? Well, it's less than a small Coke at McDonald's, except in summertime when they drop the price. Yeah. You can tell where we stop. It's less than a Tim Hortons coffee per day, except for a couple weeks ago when they were on sale. And I don't know, but I have to admit, I just noticed there's a Starbucks near here. I really like Starbucks. Do you know what you get at Starbucks for $1.35? Nothing. Nothing at all. Like nothing. So $1.35 a day adds up to $41 a month. But because of the financial differences between countries, what we can do there, like $41 a month in some of those places, Canadian, it's like an entire monthly salary for a family. It's so much more that we can do there to help them than what we can do with the same amount of money here. And look, our government even allows us right now to claim this as an income tax deduction. So the actual, whatever the cost is for you, once you figure all that complicated tax stuff out, it may be even less than what I'm saying. And so when you sponsor a child with Compassion, here's what the child gets from you. First of all, and the hardest thing to convince people of, and the most important thing of all, is they get personally connected to you. You become their only sponsor in the entire world. Just you and your family or whoever you're sponsoring this child with. They'll write you letters. You can write them letters. You can even go visit them in person. And your words for them, your prayers to them are so incredibly important. It's one of the greatest influences they have, just like Richmond said in the video that we listened to a moment ago. Like, I've had the privilege of meeting hundreds of these sponsored kids, been in some of their homes, attended some of their churches, met three of our own sponsored kids, and I cannot overemphasize how important your personal connection to them is. It is absolutely life-changing. So when you visit the Compassion table in the two foyers later on, you're going to see pictures of kids like this one here. Like, I know you can't see it very well from where you are, but let me tell you, many of these boys and girls are young, not all of them, but many of them are young, and they have no more idea about the $41 a month than our kids and grandkids worry about where the money comes from when we take them for an ice cream. My grandkids have never said, "Granddad, Grandma, you sure you can afford this McDonald's?" They just know they have somebody that cares for them, wants to spend time with them. And that's the same with our sponsor kids. They know they got a sponsor, somebody out there that loves them and writes letters to them and encourages them. Now, of course, when they grow up, they do figure out the financial part. It's very important to know about Compassion that Compassion is more than a holistic ministry providing day-by-day practical human help. It is 100% of that, but it's a lot more. It is also a Christ-centered, gospel-focused, local church-based child development and child discipleship ministry, which is very intentional about helping children come to know the love of God for them, the love of their Savior, the very same way that your church here does for your own kids. Because we know that these children need more than practical human help. They need hope in their heart, which poverty has robbed them of. And God promises us through faith in Christ that He will give us hope. And so as a result of our gospel ministry, as you saw in the video, every 4 minutes, somewhere in the world, a child gives his or her heart to Christ. Now, that adds up to over 130,000 children a year coming to Christ. And we also know that another 4 or 5 members of their family will also give their hearts to Christ. By being a part of Compassion's ministry, you are literally part of one of the greatest evangelistic harvests in the world today. And so we have much for which to be thankful. So I can promise you, what I can promise you about your sponsor child is that that child will have a regular opportunity to hear the gospel, and we pray that they all will come to give their hearts to Christ along with their family and friends because of your ministry to them through their church there in their home country. So here's what happens. The children attend a church in their own neighborhood, which has a Compassion Child Development Center. That center provides a range of various things, such as educational tutoring, nutritious meals, emotional support, medical and dental care, occupational training, vaccinations, abuse prevention, like human trafficking prevention, a huge, huge problem, personal hygiene, education, and so forth. Watch, for your particular child, based on the age-appropriate developmental needs of your child, and whatever the relevant needs in that child's community may be, it is all very, very customized for your child and their community. So this help that's provided by Compassion's ministry is in the child's home country by local Christian people who know the language, they know the culture, they grew up there, they know they have special training for this, and they know the best and most effective ways to minister to the people in their own community. So the child goes down to the church where the Compassion Ministry is located a number of days per week for all the various programming. And so your sponsored donation goes for all that programming, all that personal care, and whatever the relevant costs are to make it happen. Now, by way of comparison, number one question I get is, if the community also needs community development, such as clean water, a new health clinic, here's what Compassion does. Compassion raises separate money for those kinds of projects and works with other organizations specializing in those areas to meet those needs. So your monthly sponsor donation actually goes to your child's individual holistic development program and not for those other kinds of projects. Different money is raised for that. So this morning, you have an opportunity to participate. Let me say, it's not the only way to be a cheerful giver. It's one way, it's a great way, and for those of you who are considering taking a sponsor boy or girl or both or another child home with you today, expanding your family, you will find, as I mentioned earlier, these sponsorship cards, like this one in the foyer, both foyers, where there's a lot of helpers who can answer any question that you have. And, Nancy and I just added our third sponsor child this week, and we're real excited about that. His name is Donald, and he lives in Nicaragua. If you've been following the news there, that's become a very dangerous place. But this little girl here, her name is Nadine Cordova, lives in Peru. And just a few things about her. She's looking for a sponsor. She says that her job at home is to carry water. That could be a long ways, I don't know. She says her favorite activity is learning about God. And she loves art. And she lives in a mud house with dirt floors. And basically what they do for a living is street vending and that sort of thing. So if you've ever been to a country like this and you see all these people out on the street selling whatever, you know, bananas and whatever, that's what she and her family do for a living. And so she's one of many who are looking for a sponsor. And by the way, you know, we have so many different kinds of sponsors. Like we have children and teenagers who mow grass and babysit and save up their allowance to sponsor a child. There are parents and grandparents who will sponsor like a child for their children or grandchildren, or sometimes even one child for each of their children or one child for each of their grandchildren. You say, why would they do that? Well, first of all, to help the child and the family down there or over there, of course, but also to help their own kids and grandkids, you know, to appreciate what they have here, as well as to start their own ministry early on in life, just like your pastor did, you know, writing letters and having that influence to somebody in the world. Now, we also have a few children who are older who lost their sponsor. Maybe a sponsor passed away, and so you'll see a few older teenagers out there looking for a sponsor, and some of our seniors like to do that. Sometimes friends get together and sponsor one child between them. We have businesses and sponsor whole groups of kids. Like, all I'm saying is literally everyone can have a personal ministry to the poor with Compassion. There's lots of ways of doing that. So, yes, you can take a child home with you today. Yes, you can expand your family. Yes, you can put your picture on the fridge and begin that ministry before this day is over. Well, let me close this morning before Pastor Duke comes back by sharing how important compassion has ended up being to my family. Our son, Bill, see, I'm Bill Jr., and he's Bill III. Our son, Bill, and his wife, Rebecca, have a ministry to couples who are childless because of their own experience. They had been married for many years and could not have a biological child of their own, but they sponsored a whole long list of children with compassion, one of whom was this girl that you see on screen named Sri Lanka. She's there with her mom and her sisters. I have permission to share this with you. So Bill and Rebecca came to a crisis decision about 4 years ago to give up hoping for their own child. And the symbol to them was giving away the child stuff they had accumulated over the years. And frankly, let me tell you, the whole family had kind of given up by this time. But literally out of the blue, Sri Lanka's mom contacts them. She had figured out from the letters and the photos traded back and forth, they did not have their own child, even though they were sponsoring her daughter. And this mom, who lives in Haiti, one of the most desperate countries in the world, as we know, said she was praying for them, that God would give them their own child. She said, and I quote, "Don't give up hope, have faith." Well, you got to understand, they had been married 11 years at this time, and they were so moved by her words, they decided, okay, we're not going to give away the kids' stuff. We're going to keep praying, keep hoping. We're going to go talk to the doctor again, see if there's anything new and all the things people do. Well, let me tell you, a little over 2 years ago, and I realize this doesn't happen for everybody, Bill and Rebecca had a daughter. And here's her name. Her name is Allison Elizabeth Rose Lynn Coleman. Now, you know why they named her Rose Lynn? That's Sri Lanka's mom's name. Yeah, that mom living down there in Haiti who gave our kids hope just like they were giving her kids hope. See, I believe with all my heart that this miracle would not have happened without the great faith and earnest prayers of this woman of God, because the Bible says God honors the poor and hears their prayers. Well, when the family heard the good news, Sri Lanka wrote a letter back wanting to know what her sister's name was. Yeah. And listen, this is hard to believe. Rose Lynn's prayers were so effective that 2 months ago, Allison got a little sister named Madison. What I'm saying, church, is that sponsorship of Compassion Canada, and I can't speak for other organizations, is so much more personal than just helping a child or helping their family. Like, you never know where that child's going to grow up to change his or her community, like Pastor Richmond that we saw in the video. You never know whether that child and their family is going to be used by God to touch your whole family with one of the greatest blessings you've ever experienced. That is our story. That is our testimony. So, may God bless you as you consider expanding your family today. May God bless you as you serve Him all the time, everywhere, and all you do, to the glory of God alone. But let's review. We're going to serve God how? We learned 3 Bible words today. We're going to serve God, number one, always with eagerness. Never with, number two, reluctance, right? Or needing to be compelled. Ouch. Let's all say ouch. Ouch. Yeah, don't make me do it, God. Amen.